mental health wise, I think pickleball is fantastic for that. Mm. Just in that aspect, when you go, you're in the moment. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you feel the same.
Yeah. So it's when I was off last month, off my knee, and also doing uni work, I got a bit not sad, but like
yeah, it was a bit just down.
I wasn't seeing people. Yeah. I wasn't going out. I was seeing Southampton a lot, the Aldershot lot, Farnham lot. So I just went by myself just to watch without playing. One of the times it was a Friday, I wasn't playing. I was just watching. It was a good atmosphere just to get back into it. So I think it's really important to get out there, be able to talk to people and not isolate yourself from people.
I totally agree. I think that's one of the great things, just turning up. You know, we have, similar to you guys, I mean, we have 2-hour club sessions and, mm-hmm. and there's normally, you know, whatever, there's 20 or 24 people there and you mix it up. And I mean, I think you're running a session tonight. I see you said you're going to be a rec playing.
I mean, my stuff. Yeah, so ready
to get going. But, you know, everyone mixing with everyone, and everyone's got different stories to talk about, and everyone's got different styles. And that's quite a challenge, isn't it? Just when you're on a court with somebody different, you don't know what their strengths and weaknesses are.
That's the thing. I mean, you could be on someone on court completely different, and also the opponent's completely different, but you can still have fun. It doesn't matter anything. Language, even sometimes. I was playing with a partner in Italy. He was Italian. That was back in May 2023.
Was that a random partner?
A random partner. He was a good player. I can't remember his name, but having that language barrier, still being able to have fun and play is good. Yeah. And it's really universal language, pickleball.
Yeah.
Being able to come together.
Well, I mean, it's wonderful. You see, I mean, last night there was a group of deaf people there. And they were signing for them.
Yes.
And
I was sitting behind them, actually.
I think I've played. We played against London Pickleball, and I think they got a deaf player. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't stop him being a great pickleball player. And, you know, it's just one way. And then I think down in Southampton, there's a wheelchair pickleball player. I think his first name's Andy. I know he's Andy. I've seen him at a tournament, but I know talking to Maisie, and her dad runs the wheelchair disabled league up north.
Richard Wise.
Yeah, Richard Wise. So, yeah, we were chatting. And they've got their own league, and you know, there's a chappie up there, I think, called Terry. Mm. I'm trying to have a chat with, because this is what's so great about the sport, isn't it? It's accessible to everyone. Any, you know, color, creed, race, size,
gender.
You know, gender, it doesn't matter, and you just get, and it's good for you, and it's healthy.
Yeah,
it's not oppressive on your body. I mean, yes, you've got to get into positions, but it's good for your. I think it's your all round. Health,
yes, mental and physical.
Mental and physical. Really good. I mean, look at those guys last night. Mm-hmm. There was a bit of a sweat going on with them. I know they played 3 or 4 quite intense games.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know,
I mean, they always play together a lot of the time. Yeah. So they know each other. So there's always that lightheartedness to it.
Yeah, and that's what Louis was saying. What the great thing was, at the end of the day, you know, it's all done and dusted. Shake hands. You go off and have a drink.
Of course, there's nothing bad. There's no bad blood.
No.
You know, even with the audience there, if it makes it more.
No, it was great.
I think
really
it makes
good.
It much better having that cheer for her.
Hopefully, Karen, you can have a couple more pop-up events, you know. Could Karen organise that within 10 days, I believe?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It only came to fruition in about, within 10 days. And she says, look, you can do it in 10 days.
Karen does a lot for
Karen, yeah. Well, we big up Karen always on here.
Yeah.
So, and just fingers crossed that the governance of pickleball goes the right way.
Oh, God. LTA. Yeah. I've heard about it.
You heard about it. You haven't got involved with it.
No, I haven't.
No. I mean,
I think I remember. I think it was Freddie talked about it on the podcast. Yeah,
I think everyone just wants pickleball to be looked after in the right hands. Pickleball England are doing a fantastic job.
Not put aside.
Not be put aside and not be taken over and then pushed to one side. And I think just given its opportunities, like any. I mean, I'm all for new sports. I mean, you see them on social media. All these new sports. Paddle or padel.
I've always said paddle. It probably should be padel just because we have these pickable paddles. So probably padel, but I say paddle.
Rob pulled me on it. Padel.
Padel. Okay. Okay.
But anyway, have you played?
No, I have. No. I gave it a hit with my mum, but we didn't play a game.
Because your mum's background's tennis, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. She's tennis. I've not really given it a game, but I've heard a lot of people. I know Peter Hitchman. He's been playing a lot of paddle recently. He's based in Warwickshire.
Right.
And I know he's been having some hits with it. I think Molly and Karen played a tournament recently. I think they got to the quarterfinals, which is good. I think Karen Crawford, she's from Scotland.
Right.
Molly Kubrick.
Molly Kubrick. Yeah.
and they Molly's played him. Yeah. So
Molly of Femme Pickleball.
Yes, Spicy Pickleball.
Is that what it's called? Spicy
Pickleball.
Spicy Pickleball.
I think we saw one of her club members play last night, Ollie. I think Ollie, he was a boy. He came onto the court.
Well, I was going to say, now there's the future. I mean, he was a good little player,
wasn't
really
he?
He
was really good.
He was really good.
We played against him in Milton Keynes with Harry Hamilton, who's from Ireland, Northern Ireland, sorry. And they were a really good pair. They were both 14.
Yeah.
Despite their size, you know, they were able to give me and Anakin a fight. I think we got to 11-6, 11-5, and they were really good. We were really underestimated.
They're the future.
They are, yes. So I'm really looking forward to how Ollie does.
And he's 13.
13 or 14. Yeah. I can't be sure, but
well, there was another lad. Did you see the beginning, the youngsters when they played in the interval?
So yes,
and
I know
there was a long young lad there. He looked very accomplished.
I can't remember his name. I know he's one of. Do you know Seb? Seb Malbois. He's his son. So right. I know that he's been playing pickleball a lot. And I first saw him in the English Open in 2022 when he was on the side of the court watching his dad play against me and Jack Butterfields in the finals, the 4-0. So I've seen him kind of grow a bit. He's just getting a bit taller and taller because Seb's quite tall.
Yeah.
He's probably 6'1", 6'2". So he'll get a lot taller a lot sooner.
But it was just his presence on court as well. You know, he was talking mine,
yeah,
yours, you know, he was all those little nuances of the game, which I think was great.
I think that's an important bit. Juniors, getting juniors into it and maybe introducing it into schools.
Well,
it's great.
So how do we do that?
How do we do that?
Yeah. Come on. How do we get the schools to buy into this? They've all got sports halls.
It's really quite simple. You just need to introduce it into the curriculum. Yeah. I know some schools have done that, but with P, how it works is every half term you switch around. So one half term you're doing football for the P lesson, which is about two hours. So that's every week you do a P lesson. And then next term you may be doing badminton. Next term you're doing rugby. That's how I did it at my school.
Yeah.
So just having one of those half terms where maybe just do pickleball would be great. Introducing it to people, the kids. I mean, just getting just simple basic training to some of the teachers. I know there's been some courses to teachers about that. So I think Karen's working on that, which is great.
Yeah.
I think it's the direction to go. Just get people knowing about it.
Yeah.
To know what it is, and then maybe they can pursue it further. And also clubs, after school clubs. I used to go. So it's just a badminton one every week just to try out. So even having a pickleball one would do.
Yeah, because there are some after school clubs now. And I know one of my Charlie's best friend, he runs one of those and it used to be a football club. And he saw this is great. Having already done the podcast, he saw the podcast and said, oh, I could try that out. And we've had a chat and I put him in touch with Freddie Grattan.
Freddie Grattan, yes.
Yeah, the UK pickleball store.
Because they do shop.
This is what I get.
Nah, that's right.
Sorry, Lloyd. Sorry, Freddie. We always get these mixed up. But he does the recycled paddles, doesn't he?
From the balls, you know.
And like I said, there's a little starter kit. And, I think there's a few people I've known now that they're trying to do some after school things. It's a great way of starting and relatively cheaply getting it going.
No, that's just great to try to expand pickleball. I mean, it helps them as well. You grow pickleball, help the business. So it helps everyone out. But
We'll get some kids on the podcast.
As a business, you're trying to grow as much as possible.
Of course you are.
No hate to them.
No, but I mean,
also helping pickleball, it helps both. So it's really good.
Helps everyone, doesn't it?
Mm.
So we're talking some tournaments. And so what's your greatest achievement so far? In pickleball, medalist winning, what have you won?
So I've only really started winning recently, to be honest, when I've been playing with Anakin.
Are you suggesting that your previous partners weren't good enough?
I'm just saying maybe I wasn't good enough. We've gotten a lot closer, or a lot better recently. So we've recently had a kind of a streak going.
Right.
So we've had, there was one in Abingdon, I think.
Right.
Somewhere near Oxford. We had a tournament there. It was Steve Bill.
Yeah.
We won that one, so that was good.
So what category are you guys playing in?
We're going to play in the highest for 5-0 plus, but that was a 4-0 plus.
Right.
Just open to most people. And then the one after that was Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
The Young Persons Championship organised by Lou Stevens.
All right.
That was in Milton Keynes, and we won that, me and Anakin, against Daniel Wren.
Young persons, was there an age limit?
Under 25s for the men's and under 30s for the women's.
Okay.
I think there was also a junior category. So we played against Daniel Wren and Harrison Wood in that. They gave up a fight. But I think Harrison was a bit injured during the middle of the match. Don't know if you saw about that.
No.
He got a bad cramp, so we had to stop it halfway through the finals. So when I think they got back on court, they were a bit cold. So me and Anakin took that.
So you're junior UK junior champions then, are you?
Doubles champs, I guess.
So
for now.
Do you know what is the exact title then? What are you?
As in level?
That winning. So under, that was a championship. Under 25s. UK championship.
Doubles champions. I can't remember, to be honest.
We can make something up. Make it sound really good.
Under 25
Milton,
championship.
No, maybe we'll
champions.
Drop the Milton Keynes bit, you know. Or the MK championships.
How about that? Okay, just the under 25
UK.
Yes, that's
MK
a great,
championship.
Great suggestion.
Yeah, I've got Lou coming on soon. She might be upset about that. She might get
Don't
upset about that.
Don't mention it then. Wait till this comes out after you've seen her.
So you hold that title for a year.
Yes, I think Anakin was really holding it, so he's renewed it.
With a different partner?
He played at Jamie Basford last year, and he did really well in that.
Is that Sam's brother?
That's Sam Basford's younger brother.
Right.
I think he's 17 or 18 now, but Jamie's started when he was really young. I've seen some stuff about him. He's a really good player. So he didn't play this year, though, so I took a spot as Anakin's partner. So we went away with that, and then... funny story, at the week or the 2 weeks after Milton Keynes, under 25s, I won't mention the Milton Keynes.
the MK Championship.
MK,
for the under 25.
We played, me and Anakin, we played in the Norwich tournament, and there was a lot of, he wanted me to play and I wasn't going to play because I was like, no, I've got to focus on my uni stuff. There's a month.
Education.
To, education, you know.
Education, then sport.
Prioritize that. He's like, no, I need a partner, come play. And he just kept begging me.
Anakin, yes.
Yep. So he's based in Norwich. Right. So driving to Norwich, that tournament is a bit far, so it put me off a bit. So he finally convinced me to come along. And this was organized by Sam Anderson and Jess Wilson. They organised it. They put some prize money into it.
Oh wow!
I think it was £75 each if we won.
If we won,
we went along. We played the group stages. It was good. I think the likes of players there was Atto, Peter Pitchman was there, Ed Hares, Sam Anderson was also playing in it, and then the women's, I think Ellie Tomkinson. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. She's also from Norwich. Jess Wilson was there, and I could go on.
Yeah.
There's so many players. So we played, and we managed to get through to the finals and win that. So
you got £75 each.
Yes.
So that covered your travel and your petrol.
Yeah. That's about
it. So it was worth going up.
Worth going out for the day. So I'm quite happy.
Well done.
Quite happy he convinced me to do that. He was desperate for a partner. So I was just like, okay.
See, now your bio is getting better. You see, so we've got the MK UK under 25 champion. And the Norwich. Doubles men's
Didem Dash it was
the Didem Dash champion. So
we got that, and then what have we done recently? That's all we've done recently.
Well done.
And then before that we had Peak. That was, did you go to Peak? It was one in Kingsley.
Oh, I went in there. Yes, in November. Yes, I entered that with my wife, and we got three games. That was it.
Really?
Yeah, we got three games. Yeah, I think you had one game. You might progress. Then you went into a loser's pool, and then if you lost that, you got a playoff because there weren't that many and got beaten. It was quite a new, because we're fairly new to it, so that was like the Masters. But yeah, that was a Peak tournament. That's the thing though, finding out about tournaments, because there are different people organizing different tournaments, and I suppose there must be an avenue here. And listen, you're in IT.
Yes, that's
develop
a good point.
An app.
I've been approached about that, and just some,
you know, like
stuff,
like compare.com, like comparetournament.com,
compare.
Where, you know, they're all, people will pitch it, and it's there, one platform that you can have an app, so you know what's going on every weekend.
I mean, over the last year, 2 years, there's been a few pop-ups. You've got Sam and Jess doing their own stuff. Steve Bill's really got a lot going on now, almost one tournament every weekend. You've got Pickleball England doing their tournaments. There's also Pickleball Global. I know they've been doing it for a while across Europe.
Right.
There is a few.
Well, there's a What a Pickle tournament coming up.
Really? Which one's that?
I'm launching one.
Okay.
But it.
Well, they won't know soon.
Not worldwide by the time. Well, it's July 13th of July, I believe. What I was trying to do is a local tournament, and I was aiming it at some people on the waiting list and people in the U3A. Mm-hmm. So that I think for a lot of the new starters and a lot of people like the U3A don't want to go to an environment where it's too competitive.
Okay.
And I know Steve's got all the festival bits, and for some people it's still too much for them. Mm. But so I just want to do, you know, sort of maximum 40 people, five courts. Yeah, so I'm just trying to see if I can get a bit of traction on it at the moment, because I just feel that there's this the opportunity for all, and also just keep it local, you know, so there's stuff, because clubs growing around
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I think keeping it local is good. Having that early release of it just gives people time to sign up to it. I mean, 40 people should be fine in the next month.
Well, I released it internally to the U3A and then internally to the club.
Mm-hmm.
I posted it on my Facebook page. I did share it with Rob, but Rob didn't do anything with it. But I might pop it over to you to see what you think.
Yeah, go for it.
But I just feel like an opportunity for there. And I think there's room for everybody to do these things. And it's just like, you know, the more we can get out and play. I mean, the venues are the issue.
Yeah, I think depending on the venues, it depends. The size can change a lot.
It's a great venue. It's already got pickleball.
Which venue is that?
Oh, I can't share that one just yet. Okay. It's local.
Okay, that's good.
But it's a badminton court, but it's got a pickleball no volley zone marked up already. And it's five courts. So, you know.
I think I know which one it is.
Yeah, you probably do.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I can get it out anyway. St. Neil's School.
Yeah. All right, so.
I think you've been there. Have you been? You come down once?
No, I actually haven't. But I wasn't actually thinking of the other one, the Leisure Centre.
Well, yeah, there's eight courts in the Leisure Centre, Heart Leisure Centre. But I mean, to book that out, the problem is because it's a public space, it's really difficult to book it out. I think you can get a Saturday but it gets quite expensive. And the whole idea is trying to keep costs down for people to make it more accessible.
Yeah.
But at the same point, if you're running it as a business, you want to, you know, you've got to have some margin in it. Otherwise, there's no point in going out, spending 10 hours and making 75 quid, you know, but playing for the fun and giving other people the opportunity. That's the thing.
That's really important. I think getting people into it through tournament, just a small tournament, just to get them into it is good.
Well, the U3A have shown some interest. And what's great is that the U3A, as a club, we've helped them get set up. And I think one of the groups has got like 40 members and then another's got 10 or 20. And, you know, so in that area of society, they're looking at pickleball because it's opportunities.
Yeah.
Did you come to the Red Nose Day we ran?
I actually did, yes. I came for 15 minutes.
Oh, short then.
I made a donation.
Oh, well done.
But I wasn't able to stay much longer. I had to go to London after that to pick up my partner, Anakin. Right. We were doing something that week. I can't remember what it was. I came along for a bit. It looked really good. You were doing the counting court, I remember.
Yeah, we were doing the pickathon, which was great. But what struck me, we also were doing like some walk-ins and we had some other courts. And Rachel O'Hara and myself ended up taking a lady and a gentleman, and they must have been 80 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful. And they were sort of ex-tennis, but they were, you know, they were getting on in years and they still had their mobility. But we were just doing a little bit of dinking because it's a good way to start.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this lady, she just like walloped it. And it was like this, that competitive urge was just coming and coming and coming until she went, and it's like, it was wonderful to
building
see.
It up,
it's still there, you know, 85 or whatever.
Doesn't
it was.
Doesn't matter what age.
But, and said, yeah, what do you reckon of this sport then? You know, fancy. And so there was a nod of the head, you know. However, the difficulty then is like, where do they go when they want to play? Because there's not, you know, some of the clubs, your club, my club, you know,
the membership
is, we can't, you know, we've got a waiting list of, I think we've got 70 or 80 members and we've got a waiting list of 70.
Yeah, I mean.
Aldershot probably got the same?
Not that much. I think your club's a lot bigger than ours currently. But we are trying to get more players in. It's a bit difficult recently, but it's a different story.
I know. Going through some bumpy road at the moment.
Bumpy road, but.
You get through it.
Yeah. It's just sometimes stuff happens, so. We'll get through. I mean, Fleet's always there to help out. As I know Chris offered his help.
Yeah, we're all here to help. I think at the end of the day, I mean, it's all about pickleball.
Pickleball.
Yeah, well, it's all about pickleball. Hey, well, so there we go. Aldershot, what a pickle. Hey, no, look, we can sort it, move it on, because it's about the game. It's not about...
Yeah.
It's about opening the game, making it available to everyone.
The club's just about growing the club. It's not really... It can stay as it is. It just sometimes you need somewhere to steer it, and that's how you use the committee. to steer it the correct way.
I think you're on the steer group, aren't you?
I was, we've now resigned. So, okay. But I'm still helping out. It doesn't matter if I'm on it or not. I can still be there for them and help out.
With the experience that you've got.
Run the sessions, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Where are we? So, have you got any heroes, mentors in your life? Sporting, non-sporting?
Maybe pickleball related. People I look up to. You know, I know Rob was out there. He was. Yeah. I've known him since 2020, 2019. You know, he was one of the first. He was, you know, probably because I was a bit younger then. He was an adult. I was like, oh, okay, he's teaching me this. He's teaching me that. Just over the years, I've been looking up to him. And he's gone quite well with the coaching. So he's someone I do look up to a bit.
Has he taught you his move of not thinking nine shots ahead? I don't know why you're smiling and grinning, because this is what Rob does.
Oh, right.
Have you not heard? I asked Rob, he says he thinks nine shots ahead.
He's
planning nine shots ahead.
Right. Maybe in chess, not in pickleball. It's very hard. I mean, he might be able to do it, but I can't do that. It's very, very far forward thinking.
But I think where Rob, maybe not specifically each shot was a thought, but it's thinking, right, if we get into more of a plan. So if we get into, you know, left side, backhand, forehand side, a little bit more pace on it, a little bit more out. If I keep working that 6, 7, 8, 9, and then maybe on the ninth shot, I'm hoping that I might have worn them out enough or made them push it up, bang, and then we can get
it's a more
winner.
About the plan of the game, not necessarily the ball, nine shots ahead.
Yeah.
Although I think Freddie said he can do 15, but I won't.
Freddie Powell?
Yeah.
No, Freddie can't do more than three. He told me.
If he can get a rally more than nine,
Do Freddie needs to get his trainers back on his feet.
If they don't wear off,
they don't, if he get out of his boot.
I mean, other mentors I can think of. I mean, I know Ed Hares. He's a lovely guy. I really did look up to him. Well, I still look up to him. But, you know, he was one of the first people I met who was really that high level above me. He came to Aldershot once and I was like, okay, this guy.
Because he set up the PPL, didn't he?
He has set up the PPL. He's had quite a good journey with pickleball. He started way back in 2018 or something.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for a while and he's someone I looked up to because he's also got his career going. I know he's doing the Premier Pickleball.
And he's just become a dad.
A dad as well. And his mother-in-law is lovely. It's Kat
Jelly,
Emily's lovely. So I've known the Jellies since probably 2019, 2020.
They like their pickleball.
Yeah. Yeah. Kat's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
So
you're a fit young man. Do you have a training or a nutrition plan? Do you take that seriously or are you just one of those fortunate people that...
To be honest, not really. Today I brought some biscuits with me. I was like, okay, if I get hungry, I'll just grab some. It's just chocolate biscuits. No, I don't really have a diet. I eat whatever I get.
Do you know Ben Causton?
Oh, yeah.
Ben was on.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were talking about that. And he said he had a whole year when he was really strict about...
Really?
His,
I didn't know about that.
His nutrition and stuff. And he did say he felt a lot better for it.
Okay.
You know,
mentally
energy,
or physically?
Both. I think, and also I think the energy levels, you know.
He's a bit different though. He's number one.
Well, he's a full-time sportsman.
Number one in the world. And, yeah. So his dietary requirements are probably a lot more necessary for that maximum output on the court.
You don't become world number one without working
hard.
Yeah,
I'm just for that occasional tournament just to see. I mean, I don't need a diet for it. I just need the energy to get going.
But I mean, I think like any elite level, if you look at any elite sport, isn't it? The margins, everyone's looking. I think there was a great, I don't know if you follow cycling, but guy Dave Brailsford used to run Sky.
And who's that?
Dave Brailsford. He had a saying, so it's the aggregation of marginal gains,
right?
Which they did in cycling, where they just, UK cycling didn't do very well in the Olympics. I think it was back in one of the long Olympics, they won one medal or something.
The UK?
Yeah, Great Britain. And he took over and he looked at everything and it was like, you know, if I can get a thousandth of a second here, thousandth over there and a tenth here, you know, even to the extent, and then he took over Sky Cycling in the Tour de France, and they had a bus. They had bucket seats on the bus. It was all about recovery. Since you got off your bike, you were one of this. You had, you had the same beds everywhere you went, and it was like everything was gain. It was about grabbing a marginal gain. And I'm just thinking, when maybe it's too general at the moment, but as the game, the more better players you get, what you, I imagine at the top level, watching last night, Louis's got all the shots. James has got all the shots. You know, Thadier, Pei, they've all got all the shots, backhand, the forehands, quick hands. You know, what, where can you gain a slight advantage? You know, a little bit more speed here. Does that mean more sprint work or, you know?
Well, as you say about margins, the bike stuff, I mean, that's, biking's been perfected almost, hasn't it, over the last century. That's very different to pickleball, which is still growing.
Yeah.
And I know there's been a lot of changes in styles over the years, the last 5 years, how the program's grown a lot. With the how they can gain an advantages, the small advantages, I can't say, to be honest. I'm not that high of a level yet. I get in there, but maybe...
I mean,
keeping the mental in it is quite important.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, you've got
a tournament setting.
I mean, your tools are your paddle and your footwear, probably.
Yeah, that's well.
And but you also be, I mean, I was just interested. I think the mental side of it, being patient, because who is it? I mean, I don't know all the top Americans, but
go for it.
Tyson
McGuffin.
Is he the best in the world, or is there one? Oh, the other guy,
Ben Johns is probably.
Now I'm not sure which one, but one of them is like he will just dink and dink. Won't you know? He's got so much patience.
Probably Ben Johns. I'd say
no one. You know, if you want to play a game of patience, you won't win against this guy. Like, but he practices and trains constantly.
Ben Johns does that. He's always training. I think
sets him apart from everyone else because he practices and trains.
Yeah,
so hard.
I think because he's always been the number one. He's had that opportunity to be able to pursue it full time, and being able to pursue it full time is really important to being able to be the best.
Yeah.
If you look at tennis, you know that's almost been perfected as well over the last century. And you're looking at these top players. You know they've started since day one, since they were born, really playing tennis, and they've been. You know, chiseled into this
condition,
with the mental, the physical, and the training. And it's not quite the same with pickleball, but with Ben Johns, I think it is quite similar, being able to do the same thing every day, the training every day, the dieting every day, and being ready for tournaments. And then, of course, looking forward to the prize money.
But that's why I was asking about, you know, your training and your nutrition, because I mean, in sports science, you know, having the right fuel, you know, allows you to perform better. I think it's been proven now, isn't it? You know, so maybe that's an area to look at because, I mean, I don't know what the average game time is for pickleball. Because
probably say 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's not long,
level.
Is it?
But, no.
And to win like the MK Championship under 25s, how many games would you have had to have played? Was there a round robin and then a knockout?
There was a round robin and then it went straight to the quarterfinals.
Right.
Yes. And then, so that was about maybe four games in the round robin, maybe five. It might have been six and six teams and two round robins. So we played
seven
five
games,
in the first.
Five, six, seven, eight games?
Eight games. We played two in the finals because best of three.
Yeah. So maybe no
maybe
more
eight,
than 10.
Eight or nine games, maybe.
Maybe 10 games over the course.
Yeah, of the whole day. So, maybe from 9:30 till 2:30, 3:30.
Over four
so
or five hours.
Five, 6 hours.
150 minutes, let's say.
Yeah, of game time.
2.5 hours. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's pure playing.
That's pure playing.
And no rest. I think having the rest between it is quite good. So. I think at the higher level, they don't have much, do they? Games go on for 90 minutes sometimes, like the whole... Best of fives going for 90 minutes.
Is that what
level.
They play over in the States? Best of fives?
Usually, yeah, in the finals.
Oh, wow.
I watched one recently of Ben Johns and versus J Dubs and Dylan Fraser. They did a really long one. I think over five games it was.
And is that traditional scoring or is that rally scoring?
It's traditional scoring, but the reason they went on so long is the dinking. They just never.
Is this singles or doubles?
No, it's doubles. Right. The John Brothers and Dylan Fraser and JW Johnson, they just dink. And then when there's a
serve return, third shot drop, then you're into a dinking wall, is it?
Yeah, and then the camera pans around to the net. It's like they show them back and forth. So it's a lot more consistent out there with being able to play the longer game. So that's why out there they need, as you say, the dietary requirements, and they need to be able to be on the court for longer and have the energy rather than out here. It's a bit shorter, just probably because the level's not as high, but...
But yeah, because we had Thadia came down and done a couple of great coaching sessions at our club. Yep. And when she did the first one, she said, right, she just asked us a very simple question. She said, how many shots do you think you guys have in a average sort of rally? And we all, you know, she was 0 to 5, 5 to 10. And I think we all were going, oh, you know, 5 to 10, 10 to 15.
Yeah.
And she said, nah, you look at it very carefully, it's less than 5. And by the end of the evening, we were doing plus 10, 15 shot. And then she said, look over the other court, which was just a rec game. And she said, look, right, just count it quickly. And it was like, serve, return, third shot, one, bang, four, five shot, done. And it was like, wow. And it's like, that mindset of, you don't have to do what, you know, I would call the Hollywood shot, you know, you don't have to win it.
The perfect shot.
Perfect shot, you know, that cross court top spin or
the best shot versus being able to actually get it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a percentage game, isn't it? Reducing the reducing your error opportunities for creating an error. That's the way pickleball is played, isn't it?
There's a saying, well, I saw something online about being reactive versus proactive.
Yeah.
So reactive is just what's happening with the ball in the moment, and then proactive is about thinking ahead.
Yeah.
So just thinking the plan really in the game. So being that proactive is all about having the probability shots.
Yeah.
Be able to take ones you know will be able to most likely win the U point, not necessarily win it off the point, off the bat, in one shot. And
do you research your opponents?
No, not in tournaments. No. I like to look at them. Check them with Duper, see what they're at currently. And not really, no. It's not. Sometimes it's hard to find information about people. Some people have never played. I've never seen that name before. You only hear about the names really in tournaments, you know, so I know most of the high level players. It's just through meeting them.
Do you strategize when you're playing there? Like mix up a few shots to see where, if you can find very quickly what their weaknesses are, you know?
Sometimes it's just dinking it back properly, being able to actually get the rally going and then start thinking about what to do. So do I just go middle? Do I go more to the backhand, depending on where I am on the court? I mean, I'm usually on the right-hand side of the court. So it usually means I'm dinking cross court most of the time. So there's always to their forehand and a bit to their backhand sometimes.
And when does Ernie and Bert come into your mind?
Bert comes to mind when I'm cross court dropping from the left-hand side. I'm dropping it to their backhand. Yeah, so that's when I can kind of almost leap run across my partner and see if they pop it up even a little bit. I can just burst
Is that when you go, Bert's the one you go from the left side of the court to the right and you hop over?
Left to right or right to left.
And Ernie's the right to left? Or
No. So the Bert is coming across your partner's side of the court.
Right.
So left to right or right to left. The Ernie is coming on your own side. Court to side of the non-volley zone. So that's the difference between the Ernie and the...
And that's Sesame Street, isn't it? Ernie and Bert, isn't it?
Yeah, Ernie and Bert, yeah. I always call it the Bernie.
The Bernie,
just,
yeah, well it's...
I don't know, I've always played with Bernie Alderbert, so I just always called it the Bernie. I don't know why. Do you know Bernie Alderbert?
No.
He's a great player, he's 50 plus. Right. He's a 5-0, he plays down in near Brighton.
Okay.
So sometimes we do some sessions in him with London. So I'm always playing with him, and it's just something in my head has come as the Bernie.
The Bernie.
It's a Bernie. It's just stuck in my head. It's not the Bert, it's the Bernie.
Well, we've got the MK Championships. Yeah. Now we've got the LV, you know, the
LV.
The LV shot, maybe. The LV. What would you, your style though, are you patient sort of player? Or do you like to, are you just adaptable or do you?
It's a lot
easier. Do you have a style?
Do I have a style? Not really. Yeah, maybe less bangy or not as much power. I'm not really seen as a powerful person on the court, depending on who I'm playing with. You know, you have these players, James, just being able to pinpoint accuracy of the best drive ever, top spin. I'm not really like that. I can drive it a bit, but I can do more patient stuff, more dinking. That's probably more my game.
Yeah.
When we get into those rallies, and then being able to reset it is quite good. Yeah. Having that as well.
But, that's the hard. I think that's the hard.
It's hard
part.
To say what style I
reset
have.
Reset is hard, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
when the ball's coming in.
The most important
quickly.
Part of the game.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. But I wouldn't say I have a style. It's just I'm a avid pickable player.
you're not average. What's your Duper rating now?
It's 4.959.
Oh, it's very close.
I need to be very accurate. Not 4.96. It's quite high.
Yeah.
But it's probably just off the few wins I've had with Vanaken recently. I'm sure it'll level out more towards the Open when I do Belgium and Northern Ireland. I think it's a bit high at the moment. So, but, you know, it's something good, something to have. to say, no, oh, look, I mean, look, my duper.
Well, that's a target, isn't it? Five.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the next target for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
So before we finish, so where, let's say, where would you like to see pickleball and yourself in the next 5 years?
I'd like to still be playing and being able to compete.
I hope you are. You'll still be just a youngster.
I'll still be young. I'll be able to run around still. I'd like to be at the highest level in the country. With Anakin, because I really enjoy playing with Anakin.
Yeah.
I think we fit well together personality-wise. So us two together, just winning everything. But, you know, that's the dream. And then...
So who currently, is it Louis and James that are the play together? The doubles? Are they the doubles?
I think Louis and Freddie at the moment are top because...
their crown you're after?
Yes, their crown.
So should we just look it down there and just say to him, like, you're after them? Yeah, you and Anakin.
After you, Louis and Freddie.
Yeah, there you go.
That was a bit serious. Yeah. But no, it's the dream. It's
but
not.
That's what they need.
It's
they
being competitive.
To be kept on their toes, you see.
They're lovely people off court. It's just all fun in the game.
They've both been on the podcast and they were great fun. So, you know. So, Lauren, look, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you ever so
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much. Really good.
Thank you.